Well, please take a seat. And if you'd like to pick up one of the Bibles that hopefully would have been on or around your chair, and you can turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Now that is on page 666 in the church Bible. Proverbs chapter 30. We've been looking at the book of Proverbs, not in fact in Sunday school, but we have been looking at the book of Proverbs with the youth club this past term. We've been thinking about the fact that we are Proverbs. So that's the sort of English grammar type joke you get at youth club. Because we don't just want to know about God, we want to live out, we want to do what God would have us do. And the book of Proverbs helps us with that. And so I thought for the teenagers here this morning, and for all of us, as this is a special Sunday for us, it might just be useful to learn some of the big lessons of the book of Proverbs together. So we're going to use a few verses from chapter 30 to help us do that. Chapter 30, verse 1 says, "The sayings of Agur, son of Jakeh, an inspired utterance." So that's what we're going to think about, the saying of this man, Agur. Now, Proverbs is about wisdom. Wisdom, which means living God's way in God's world. And Agur has some very useful things to teach us about wisdom. In fact, three things that we need to know if we want to be wise, which I hope we do, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are here this morning. I hope we want to grow in God's wisdom. And so here are three things we need to know. I think we've got a slide with the three things on. Do we have a slide with the three things on? There we go. Thank you very much. The three things we need to know. We need to know our place. We need to know our God. And we need to know the Word. Okay? So that's what we're going to think about just the next minute. Know our place, know our God, and know the Word. The first thing we need is we need to know our place. Now, it is almost the summer holidays. And that means that if you're maybe at nursery school, but you're about to move up to primary school, or maybe you're already at primary school, but you're going to be moving from one year to the next, before very long, you are going to be meeting your new teacher. I know the school our kids go to is happening this week. At the end of this week, they have the day where they go to their new classroom and they meet their new teacher. Now, I want you to imagine that you've gone to meet your new teacher. And your new teacher comes in. And your new teacher's name is Mr. Agur. And you think, oh gosh, here he comes. He looks the part, certainly. I wonder what kind of teacher my new teacher is going to be. And Mr. Agur comes in and he says, "Now, hello children, here's what you need to know about me. I am very, very stupid. I'm terrible at maths. I'm not very good at English. Science, clueless. Absolutely no idea. In fact, generally, kind of educationally, in terms of learning stuff and knowledge, I am pretty terrible." Now, what would you think? If your new teacher came in and said that, would you let me do a thumbs up, thumbs down? If your new teacher came in and said, "That's what I'm like, I'm a bit dopey, I don't know very much, I'm not very good at teaching things," would you think, "Yep, he's going to be a good teacher"? Or would you think, "I don't know if he is going to be a good teacher"? Well, yeah, so you might be thinking, he sounds like he might be quite a fun teacher. But I don't know how effective a teacher he's going to be. Well, let's just have a look at verses 2 and 3 of Proverbs chapter 30. Because here we are in a book that's all about wisdom. And what do we find? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 2. Agur says, surely I'm only a brute, not a man. A brute, it means like I'm like an animal. I'm like a sort of a beast. I do not have human understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I attained to the knowledge of the Holy One. Well, that's a bit strange, isn't it? Here's Agur, who's a teacher of wisdom, and he starts off by telling us that he knows nothing about it. He starts off by telling us that I have not learned wisdom. What on earth? Verse 1 has told us that this is supposed to be inspired, but it doesn't seem very inspiring, does it? But here's the thing. Agur is wise in his lack of wisdom. Because there isn't a person in the world who is wise kind of by nature, who is wise automatically, who's just born wise, knowing all the things that we need to know if we're going to live well. In fact, the first lesson of wisdom is to recognise that you need to learn it. It's to recognise that you need to be taught it. Now, there was an old Greek philosopher called Socrates. He was a Greek philosopher, so he wore a white sheet. And Socrates, he knew this, because he once said, in the way that Greek philosophers say, with posh English accents, he once said, true knowledge comes from knowing that you know nothing. And all the people went, very smart Socrates. True knowledge comes from knowing that you know nothing. But you see, Socrates, it wasn't an original thought. Turned out he basically pinched it from Agur, who said exactly the same sort of thing, but hundreds of years beforehand. Because Agur recognises that if he is going to be wise, it's not because he's so wise and clever by himself. He's going to need to learn wisdom. He's going to need to be taught wisdom. And we need to know the same thing. We need to know our place. Which is to say, we need to know that by ourselves, just thinking on using our own brain power and our own instincts, well, we might not necessarily be very wise. But this brings Agur on to his next point, which is, if you know you need to learn, well, you need to find the best teacher. And so the second thing we need to know, once we know our place, is we need to know our God. Now, some of the young people of this church will soon be turning kind of 17. They're getting on to some of the kids in the youth group. They're getting to that kind of stage. Which means when they're the age of 17, if they wanted to, deep breath parents, they could learn how to drive. Now I know, in fact, there are some people in the chapel who are ever so slightly older than 17, but who have learned to drive quite recently in the past few years. But imagine if one of the teenagers decide they wanted to learn to drive, and you said to them, "Well, you know, how are you gonna learn? Who are you gonna get to teach you?" And they said, "I don't really care. Doesn't really matter to me who teaches me. Any old body. I just need somebody to sit in the car next to me. I'll just work it out myself, I think." Or if they said, "Whoever's the cheapest. I don't care if they're rubbish. I don't care if they don't know anything about driving. I'll just sort it out myself. Now, what do we think? Let's do thumbs up, thumbs down. Is that going to work out well? Is that going to be a good idea or a bad idea? All the people in the room who pay the car insurance have got their thumbs down. It's going to be a bad idea. You don't just want any old bod to teach you how to drive. If you want to learn to drive a car well, you need a good driving instructor. Somebody who's a good driver themselves. Well, if you want to learn wisdom, if you want to learn how to live well by living God's way in God's world, well, you need to find someone wise. And as we've already seen from Agur, well, that kind of rules out people, I'll just find a wise guru who can help me, or something like that. No, if you want to know wisdom, you need to know God. That's what Amos tells us in verse 4. He says, who has gone up to heaven and come down? Whose hands have gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who has established and he's made all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his son? Surely you know. Having highlighted his own lack of wisdom, Agur asks us this series of questions to point us to God, to point us to God's wisdom. So if he asks, who else are you going to learn from than the one who laid out all of creation? Who else is going to be able to instruct you about the order, the working, how to do life well, other than the author of life? God is solely, God is uniquely wise. That, of course, is the answer to all Agur's questions. No one but God. No one but God spans heaven and earth. And, of course, only God has spanned heaven and earth in Jesus. Interestingly, Jesus uses this verse. Jesus, as the one who has kind of physically bridged the divide between heaven and earth and perfectly revealed wisdom to us in human history, Jesus uses this verse. In fact, any of the youngsters who come to Friday Club, that's our sort of primary school age club, can anybody tell me, if I tell you that Jesus is in conversation with the big cheese, who is Jesus talking to? Can anybody help me? Lydia? Yeah, do you know his name, Daniel?
Nicodemus
is the right answer. And when Jesus is in conversation with Nicodemus, he says this. You might remember Nicodemus. He would have been the sort of person that sort of said, well, maybe he seems wise. But Nicodemus recognized he wasn't. He recognized that he needed to come and learn from Jesus. And so he came along and he saw Jesus at night. And Nicodemus, and Jesus says this to Nicodemus. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Says Agur. You might think, why in John 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, why is he talking about going into heaven? But I think it's because he's basically quoting Proverbs 30. And then it makes perfect sense. Because Jesus is saying that he is the one who uniquely has the authority and the ability to show us what real wisdom looks like. Because he's the one who's gone up to heaven and come down. Because he is the Son of God. So if we want to be wise, we need to know our place. And then secondly, we need to know our God. He reveals Jesus. He reveals wisdom to us in the person of Jesus. But also does so through his word. That's the third thing we need to know. If we want to be wise, we need to know our place, we need to know our God, and we need to know the word. Now, we've got a picture here. Do we know what that picture is? Any other name, Daniel? The Mona Lisa. That is right. Anybody know who painted the Mona Lisa? Yes?
Leonardo da Vinci
is the right answer. Now, a lot of people ask a lot of questions about the Mona Lisa. Who is she? What's the story? Is she smiling? All those kind of things. But imagine if we had Leonardo da Vinci and we had him right here. Just doing a bit of painting. And we thought we could find out. We could find out all about the Mona Lisa. We could find out the story. We could find out who she was. We could find out if she's happy or if her speech is a little bit uncomfortable. We could find out what's going on. Because we could just ask. We could ask the painter. But the problem is, we can't do that with Leonardo da Vinci. So all we can do is guess. All we can do is speculate. But when it comes to understanding the world and how best to live in it, when it comes to living God's way in God's world, well, then we don't need to worry. Because God isn't silent like Leonardo da Vinci is nowadays. It's because God speaks. We can, if you like, come and ask and hear him explain to us as he teaches us in his word, the Bible. Have a look down at verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he'll rebuke you and prove you a liar. His perfect word, Ava said. God's word is flawless. It's a word that means it's been kind of tried and proven and pure. To come to God's word isn't to sort of take a punt on a kind of new fangled idea. It's to seek shelter in a tested refuge, in a safe place. And God's word alone is where we need to go. Warning verse 6 there is pretty stark. Again, some of the older ones here have done exams recently. In fact, some of the younger ones might have been doing some exams, doing SATs and things like that. There'll be results today, won't there, next month. Well, I hope nobody who is here revising for their exams took out their pen and thought, I don't like this bit. I'll just change it, I think. I'll just scribble this bit out and put something more interesting. You know, this algebra seems a bit restrictive. I'll just add in some extra rules that would make it more fun. Or this description of the water cycle, it's a little bit dull. I'll add a new element. I think I'll call it water explosion. Now, attempting to rewrite the textbook, well, that's a very silly idea. And attempting to alter the word of God, Ager says, well, that would be a very bad idea. As we go through life, we'll do wisely if we stick with Scripture and learn from the Lord. Asking each day, what does God have to say to me about this? How do the words of Jesus guide me and keep me safe? Because it doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter how old we are, Ager helps us to be wise by knowing these three things. By knowing our place, knowing that we're not wise just by ourselves, but that we can be by, secondly, knowing our God, and thirdly, using what he's given us so that we can grow in wisdom, knowing the word. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you make us wise, that you teach and explain to us about you, about the world, about ourselves, about how we do life best. We thank you for equipping us as your people in that way. And we pray that you want each, that you help each and every one of us to want to grow in our knowledge and understanding of you, to want to grow in wisdom, and do so humbly, knowing our place, but by knowing you and knowing the words that you have given to us. And we thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing together. Our final hymn this morning, to him all about the greatness of God, the greatness of the Lord Jesus, revealed to us in the splendour, the wonder of the world that he's made. How great thou art. Let's stand and sing together.